Yeah, all right. It's happening. Okay, great. So nice to see those of you who've shown up before. There may be folks who have, this is your first time. I don't know. I think the best way to hold these sessions is, yeah, ways to play. I'm offering what I'm calling exercises. That might open up some sort of, I don't know, perspective or slant on some aspect of insight practice that may be helpful either to open up ideas about how you're conceiving of different practices, or maybe little tricks or little ways of kind of turning the attention, working with the stance towards the experience that you can pull into your practice. So that's the basic premise. Not so much offering these as like a practice you would well, you could just take it as it's helpful to you. So today, what I am offering in the first session, I offered a kind of short list of different aspects of what must be there for the self to be constructed. Or another way of saying that is what must be there to support clinging. Yeah. In order to continue this exploration of how our experience is fabricated. Yeah. Discover something about how one can release clinging in different ways, sort of by looking at these different aspects that must be there and playing there. So today, playing with what I called on the first session a self-centered or self-oriented perspective. So something about how we are holding, sensing, knowing from a particular place, yeah. If we talk about clinging in broad terms, talk about attachment, you know, it's how we tend to relate to things as ours or as distinctly not ours, yeah. We're evaluating things that way. People, places, things. Most of what I've been offering in these sessions is about kind of working with these principles of self-construction on really subtle ways. Ways that are more about how we use the attention, how we perceive, kind of on that level of things. So in that, we'll offer kind of two different slants on that. And the first one, we're going to do a guided practice together. And that will be playing with the sense of where attention, awareness, knowing, consciousness, where that's located. The kind of default for humans, you know, is there's just a sense that this is where I'm sensing from, somewhere in the head, looking through the eyes, listening through the ears. We can play with shifting that kind of default sense through practice. In Rob's kind of primary practice offerings, you could say, probably vastness of awareness is the one that plays with this the most. So this possibility for awareness to be not localized, yeah, but be everywhere, ever present. I'm gonna take a different stance again, just as a kind of exercise to see what happens. And this is about just seeing what happens to encourage, play with the idea of the sense, the center of awareness being in the belly, yeah, and just see what happens with that. So let's try it. And it'll probably be not too long, maybe like a 15 minute, something like that, and see what happens. And then I will offer some teaching and then a practice in kind of a different direction. So just taking the first couple of minutes to give ourselves permission to arrive into a period of practice. Nowhere else to go, nothing else to do. Might be helpful to notice if we can offer the body anything helpful. That might be just a little consciousness of the sitting posture. Are there any slight adjustments that might help the body to be more upright? More rooted. Let that rootedness and uprightness allow for the body to participate with sensitivity. If there's any obvious tension or contraction we notice in places that don't need to be engaged to hold the posture, just inviting those places of holding and tension to release, to soften. And just encouraging the mind, giving it permission to set aside whatever busyness it brought into this space. Maybe a sense that the mind can settle with. And within the experience of the body. Just letting the attention, the awareness be broad. Opening to the whole of the body's experience. Letting the body reveal itself as it will within this soft and receptive attention. from this wide expanse of attention, not closing down, but softly encouraging a sense that the attention is centered from the belly. You don't need to shut anything out. But emphasizing more within the attention, within the awareness, the belly. So if we can look at the attention, the awareness, as the light coming from a candle, softly illuminating the space, we can let the center of the attention be the lower belly, just a little bit below the navel. Maybe a sense of breathing into the belly. That might feel nice, supportive. Maybe that's a sense that the breath can move all the way into the lower belly. Possibly a sense that the breath is free to come in from all sides, gathering in the lower belly on the in-breath, released from there on the out-breath. So I'm going to throw out an idea or an image. You can see if it's helpful or interesting. Just opening to the sense that there is a sleeping Buddha or a sleeping Bodhisattva in your belly. Enlivening that area of the body with the breath and the attention. So there's a Buddha there. And we could say within the belly, there's a space or field of awakening. It's there, but sleeping. So giving it permission or encouragement to wake up. Along with this offering of attention, This offering of the energy of the breath. An encouragement to see how it might feel to sense that the belly is a center of awareness. How might it feel to be aware from there? Giving permission to the mind, the thinking mind above the neck, to be quiet, to rest. To relax. So maybe that image of the Buddha, a Buddha or Bodhisattva. Awakening in the belly isn't helpful. So instead, just finding your own way to let this part of the body, this area of the body, participate in how you are aware, how you are conscious. Really lightly, really playfully. Can there be a sense of the belly knowing itself from within? The sensations not so much known from a perspective coming from the head, looking downwards. The sensations of the belly known from within. Can the awareness open outwards? What would happen if you placed your hand on the belly? Can it be sensed without an intermediary, without anything between the sensations of the hand and the center of the awareness? Sensitive, delicate, enlivened awareness permeating this space of the belly, centered there. How might the chest? Or the legs be known from this center of awareness. A different perspective, possibly, or maybe a sense that the awareness expands from the belly into the legs, into the chest. Not forcing anything, just playful, just curious. Can this Buddha within the belly hear? Can it see? Does it recognize? Just taking the last couple of minutes to lean into or explore anything that seemed lovely or novel or interesting. Right. So I'll offer hopefully not too much teaching, but a little bit to kind of meet this practice. So one possibility of working with the sense of the locus of awareness, location of awareness in a different place. This is kind of a, it's related to different things that are very present in Zen practice, Taoist practice, traditional Chinese kinds of ways of looking at the body and the energy system. So something about the hara, this, it's like learning to act from the hara, to sense from the hara is really part of it. There's something in different sets of instructions that work with this moving the awareness that just kind of work good for people. Because they feel, I don't know, it's a whole different topic to go into why or how that might relate to the body and the energetic system. I would say the same thing about working with releasing the kind of ownership for the sense of awareness. Can be pretty doable for people with vastness of awareness practices too. Yeah. So there's just something in that way of the attention is so broad and there's a beauty in the imagery of it, and it can somehow allow for this kind of like release of it's like a transfer of ownership that can be really supportive in releasing the clinging. Yeah. So that's primarily why I'm playing with these different ideas. It's looking at ways to kind of pull out what is usually an unconsidered tight bundle of how we sense and perceive or these elements of conventional perception. Maybe I kind of want to put these approaches or this sort of way of working or thinking about awareness into a wider view of something about how Rob taught, what the style in which I teach or how I hold it. These are practices from different traditions that have sort of different directions in which they can go. There can be different understandings of what the goal of working with awareness is. Yeah. But here, in the way that Rob taught, is also, what I was drawn to. I don't know, like loosely, I call it for myself something like the emptiness way. Yeah. These are ways of doing practice where the general intention is not to prove anything about the nature of anything. It's not to say you couldn't have very good reasons for doing that, but in the it's a direction of freedom that kind of requires an exploration that involves somehow, we could say, exploring perceptions of that feel habitual and sort of dis opening up them up for questioning, opening them up for debate. Yeah, that's the kind of method, that's the kind of movement of this direction of practicing. So some practices can be used in one sort of tradition with one kind of overarching direction or one sense of how liberation is described, and they can be used in another. Yeah, so just to kind of point to that. The kind of freedom that opens from this direction, I mean, we can make there's lots of arguments or possibilities to kind of say why one way, one kind of vision of the path is superior. And I could make my case for this kind of emptiness way, but I don't want to for lots of reasons. But maybe just to say this direction that comes from challenging or questioning or opening the sense of how things seem to be, how things just by default or how we intuit things are. It opens up something like an affinity for a sense of groundlessness. Yeah, something like that. An abiding delight in possibility, something like that. Kind of deep peace with mystery. I don't know, something like that. I had another teacher, Shinzen Young, who had a way of sort of talking about this direction and where it goes. And he said that he thinks of a Zen master. So for him, that would be like the highest level of awakening, freedom, attainment, however you want to look at it. A Zen master is someone who is constantly falling off a cliff and prefers it that way. Yeah. So it's a sort of that may or may not feel, I don't know, that may or not sound like a good thing. I would say maybe more is something about having a sense of spaciousness and having a way of navigating life that is not primarily driven by the need to be certain and the kind of space that opens up in the life. Yeah. So just to kind of point to that, and it feels like often when I'm teaching around awareness, it sort of comes up. Like, where are we taking this? What does this mean? This is what I've learned in this other way of practicing Advaita, Dzogchen, different traditions. So that was just that for that. The belly thing, I first came across that reading. I don't know if any of you know this book, Three Pillars of Zen by Philip Kaplow. And I read it because it has a lot of different people kind of sharing their Satori experiences, their awakening experiences. But there's a point in he's retelling his story of his experience with his Zen teacher in a Zen monastery in Japan. And that's like the first instruction he gives him is something like, there's a Buddha in your belly, wake him up, something like that. And I was just kind of like, oh, what is that? I like that. That can come up for us, and as we just read something that seems maybe a little bit unrelated to the kind of brass tacks of how we're practicing meditation, but if something kind of strikes us and intrigues us, it can be really helpful to just, I don't know, bring it in and play with it and see There may be a reason something in our heart comes alive when we hear something like that. All right, so that's a little bit focused on the first practice. And now what I'll offer is not unrelated, but it's something about becoming sensitive to the activity of mind that is sort of establishing spatial relationships, kind of building kind of maps of where things are, what the relationship is, or in subtle ways, is something about a kind of separating things so they are maybe not in the literally different space, but the mind feels they're not overlapping, they're not interweaving. Yeah. So playing with that. It's kind of a picky subset. Well, no, I don't want to say picky. It's a sub area of anatta practice, we could say. Yeah. So it's can look at this as the kind of one way or some ways that appropriation shows up. Not so much on the level of the thinking mind, but kind of on the level of habitual perception and how we tend to have a sense of things and what we tend to bring in the knowing of any object. Yeah. Objects that could be happening in literal space. You know, my eyes are closed, there's sounds appearing. There's some sort of energy of kind of placement and mapping and location. Regardless of, you know, our ability to maybe ever even really know what's happening and where things are, it just sort of arises. So that's something we can play with, kind of softening in different ways. I pulled just a quote, tiny thing from Rob's book on the section of anatta practice. And he's talking about what verbal supports for the practice might be helpful. And people are probably very familiar with, you know, not me, not mine. So he says, possibilities for such quiet verbal support of this view might include moment to moment, delicately labeling phenomena as anatta, not self, or not me, not mine. You can also modify the way of looking by quietly voicing within, for example, there is sensation or there is awareness. That is to say, sensations or awareness are just happening. Yeah. So that's a little bit this idea, sensations, awareness are just happening. They don't necessarily have to be identified, picked up, placed, located, separated out by me. Yeah. So that's the kind of verbal cue level, I think, of what I'm talking about. So again, some of this, you know, it's like to me, it's a kind of like it feels like a kind of mapping or a kind of just like geometry of self, center of awareness, and what is being noticed that kind of arises. And again, it can be a sort of literal sense of a map of spatial locations and direction and distance. Sometimes it can be, it's a very vague, it's something like a sense of separating or discriminating between things. And actually, it's not something that comes up like a sense that is directly present. It's more you can see the evidence of it. Yeah. So part of what I'll offer in the guided practice is actually looking for in these more subtle areas, where is that sense of discrimination or separation coming from as a way to possibly release something about this self object kind of bundle that is a primary part of clinging and how that shows up. Let's see. Yeah, so sometimes a literal distance, sometimes a sense of distance that doesn't seem to be kind of spatially literal. So in some ways, the working with moving the awareness to a different location, it does pull that out. Yeah. It's a different way of knowing that doesn't require sense of awareness to be located here. So that's already in that direction we kind of explored a little. Certainly that opens up with vastness of awareness practices. Yeah, is part of how the clinging can release so deeply and kind of organically for people. It's just like setting down this thing that is, you know, has ping, sending out radar pings all the time in relationship to itself and back and forth. Different kinds of ways of looking can also support that. You know, this idea that everything is just an impression in awareness can be part of the vast awareness practices. It pulls out the possibility of a kind of location somehow. Yeah, it sort of brings the awareness and that which is known right to the same point. Yeah, so it kind of collapses that way. I sometimes use a cue or kind of a way of talking that is like everything is energy vibrating or resonating. It's the same kind of movement, same kind of direction, without assigning where awareness is or how it's held. Yeah, it just kind of leaves that investigation open. So the next two exercises will be one, just a particular way to play with this arising of the sense of subject and object and some sort of space in between or distance in between. Sometimes it's a kind of sense of like a directional vector, you know, that it's the sense of direction is part of it. Playing with de-emphasizing noticing the object and instead noticing what is that space, what is that vector, and bringing the attention to that. So kind of different than what is habitual, and seeing what happens when we do that. So that's one. It's kind of it's a simple, but it can be really powerful in sort of dissolving that kind of bundling and mapping. Second one, de-emphasizing or relaxing. Yeah, like our job in this kind of geometry of perception or this subject object, just doing through the instructions, kind of leaning into that more, you know, things are just happening, seeing what happens from kind of shifting that way. So it'll be a two-part kind of thing. Oh, I have a note of a koan. I don't know if there's folks here who have done Zen practice, koan practice. If people are actively engaged in koan practice, I hope I'm not going to be sharing the koan that you're working on. But this is a if you're familiar with Zen koans, they're sort of words, phrases, bits of story, bits of teaching that you hold in meditation, and then you kind of you present your understanding to the Zen master. And this is a koan. How do you stop the sound of a temple bell 100 meters away? And then you're left with that. And you know, you don't get earplugs, you don't like shoot an arrow at the person who's ringing the bell. Is something about changing this relationship of the sense of self, the sense of awareness, this distance of 100 meters and the sound, and like pulling something out there. Yeah, so it's this kind of yeah, this kind of play. Yeah, it's sort of pulling something out in the relationship that hopefully will allow for some kind of release of clinging. Yeah. All right, so let's see. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good for time. I will offer the guided practice. Then we'll have if anyone has questions or reports, you'll be free to share. And we'll just there will be no possibility of breakout groups or anything like that. We're just going to gather together, those of you who want to, for the Q&A session, and then end on the hour. Yeah. All right, so let's go ahead and sit. So again, just taking a couple minutes to settle yourself in whatever way feels helpful. You might be opening to the sense of the whole body breathing. Might be another way. We're going to begin with just a basic open mindfulness stance. Not trying to do anything in particular with the attention, with the awareness. Just open, noticing, what sensations are present. What sounds might be present? What thoughts or aspects of emotional experience? I'm just beginning to be a bit curious about whether, along with the sensing, the noticing, there's any sort of activity of placing or locating. I'm noticing a particular sound. If that's what's called the attention. So I notice any activity of the mind that is asserting or curious about the location or the directionality of the sound. If it's a body sensation, it might be something within the physical body, the emotional body, the sense of the energy body. Just noticing, again, is there a sense of location? Maybe it's a sense of the distance between the head and what's being noticed. There may also be a sense that body sensations, even those that are not literal physical sensations, but they're somehow mapped onto the body, the sense of the body, the image of the body, the idea of the body. We notice thoughts arising. You can just be curious about whether or not there's some sense of place or location to those thoughts. Whether they're words or sense of a voice or images. Just curious, is there a sense of the location? Does it seem near or far? And with some subtle objects of attention that might be related to thoughts or thinking, might be related to aspects of the self sense that kind of come up in different ways. May not be a sense of a physical distance or location, but instead a kind of distinction. These things are in their own space, separate from others. Maybe not, but just curious about that sense of distinction or distance or placement with anything that calls the attention. So we'll just play with a couple different ways to relax this kind of building or mapping or distinction making, if it is noticeable, if it's part of your experience. So to begin, I'll offer a kind of simple possibility, pretty straightforward in instructions. See what happens. We'll begin by keeping this open stance, this kind of mindfulness stance, open to experience broadly, allowing any sensation or object of attention that becomes prominent or noticeable to just take the attention until something else does. And as you notice, being curious as to whether or not there is a sense of that which is known in relationship to the sense of the knower, yourself, the location of awareness. Oh, somehow this geometry of self and object. Might be a sense of a kind of directional vector that connects the two points. Might be a sense of distance or space between. And see if you can shift the awareness to what is between the sense of subject and object. Whatever it is, you don't even have to know, but let the attention open to that, soak into that, explore that as fully as you can. Might be a sense of space. Might be more a sense of absence. Absence of subject, object, sensation, absence of space, and absence. So another sensation or object of attention may come up, or through attending this way, the sense of the object may disappear. Just opening again to whatever shows up, the sound, the sensation, the thought, whatever is next. And tuning into the space or the absence. And appreciating that, opening to that as much as possible. So playing this way with subtle objects. It may be more that we sense a distinction. But not as something like a tangible space. So, just doing your best to sense the quality of the distinction itself, whatever that might mean. Somehow resting in the cleft of the distinction between subject and object. Just noticing, attending to the space between or the distance, or the sense of the cleft of the distinction, the point of distinction. So it may or may not be a helpful or available way to play for you. In just a minute, we'll move into a very different way of exploring. There may be a sense that these different ways that distance or separation show up are kind of slippery or like quicksand or disappear when we notice. Or that something about the whole arrangement of subject, object, and that which is between dissolves or fades or disappears. So no right direction, not a possible way to explore noticing things differently. All right, so we'll shift gears for the second possibility. If you want to just maybe come back to the sense of the breath, the sense of the physical body, as a way to kind of reset. Maybe just noticing the in breath and the out breath. Very simple. Here, we're just very simply going to play with this way of looking. This way of looking that has something to do with the possibility that things are just happening. Sensations are just appearing. I don't have to do anything about it. So we can just continue with this kind of open, expansive awareness. And for this exercise, leaning more into a kind of very receptive attention. Way of noticing that doesn't need to pick and choose. The attention, the awareness is too broad and too receptive to be pulled by one arising or another. So everything is known. Everything is registered. But what arises does not need us to organize it or separate it or name it or place it anywhere. Things don't need us to put them in a timeline. Noticing the starting and the stopping. It's something we're bringing. We can set all of that down. So we bring these maps and measurements and interrelationships as we notice that kind of activity, just releasing it as best we can. Maybe a sense that what is known does not rely on our perception, our placement, and instead we have this chance to just touch each of them within a sense of the absolute. Things arise in their fullness, just as they are. Sound that is softer is just softer. You don't need to place it at any distance. It's whole and complete and resonating. Things may happen concurrently. Things may happen one by one. No problem. Without the demands of putting things in space or putting the objects of attention that arise within a timeline, there may be a sense of these arisings. It's just the sound of a bell being struck. The same bell. Just different resonances, different vibrations. Things just happening. Experience resonating effortlessly. So just taking the last couple of minutes to practice as you like. Maybe just continuing with this way of looking. May our practice, may our willingness to explore be of benefit to all beings.